Welcome to Primal Talks. I'm Jodie Dighton, your host, and today I am joined by Vanessa Woosley, also known as the Life Sutra. Such a good name, the Life Sutra. So welcome, Vanessa.
Hello, welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's lovely to have you. So first of all, tell everybody a little bit about you. So you are based in Fleet. You're a health and wellness coach, and I will let you take it from there.
Yes, I have clients on a one-to-one basis, but I also run classes. I always want to help people to find ways to be healthier, happier, improve their relationship with food, and help heal their body naturally using food. That's what I'm really passionate about.
Oh, excellent. And you're a strong advocate of not just eating this way for yourselves, because I think a lot of people, when they introduce a new way of eating, as adults, we tend to take it upon ourselves. But we don't integrate it through our families. We don't push it on our children. We don't, you know, take it all the way through. You're a strong advocate of taking it all the way through the family as well, aren't you? And eating healthier and bringing good habits all the way through to your children as well, aren't you?
Absolutely. I think the health of our future nations are going to be with the mums out there. I'm a strong advocate of trying to do it for yourself first. You can't change your whole family in one go. But once the mum or whoever does the cooking in the family has kind of opened that window into feeling very differently and feeling healthier, clear-headed, having more energy, they're nearly always inspired then to drive that down to their children and their husbands and everybody else. And if we can go back to teaching children how to cook again, where that's really where the health starts, is back in the kitchen and learning to cook from scratch.
It is, but it's so hard, isn't it, changing habits? Because, you know, one of the things that people always say, whether you're talking about a different type of diet, changing the way you're going to eat, trying to make lifestyle changes, as everybody always says, and you probably get the same thing, oh, it's all right for you. You know, it's easy for you to do this, but I can't do that, or my husband won't accept that, or my children would never eat that. And I know full well my children are extremely picky eaters. So transitioning family is not an easy task, especially if you're not starting from the beginning when your children are being weaned and you're introducing these foods. So, you know, what's a good way to start? How do you introduce this to children, especially older children who are getting quite set in their ways already?
Well, there's lots and lots of different things you can try, but you can't do it all at once. So you do little bits, and you just try things like, I mean, I remember when I tried to get my daughter to eat liver.
I'm not a fan of liver. No. I'll say that now. I'm not a fan of liver.
It's a multivitamin in food form. You can't get away from it. It's one of the healthiest things that we can eat, especially in grass-fed form. So I remember giving it to her, and she just wouldn't eat it. And then I used to blend it into things. And once they sort of get a little bit of a taste for it, and you keep doing it, so it's sort of disguised, and then eventually she would just eat it. But it's a process. It's a step-by-step process, and you have to cut some of the sugar out. Sometimes you have to change the gut microbiome, so sometimes you have to change the bacteria in the gut, because the bacteria is craving certain foods. So if they're eating nothing but bread and sugar, that could be because the bad bacteria in their gut is changing and altering their cravings for them. So you have to do a few things at the same time. Sometimes you have to look at the bacteria, sometimes you have to take little steps. But the main thing is to make mealtimes fun and not this kind of pressure, you will eat this or you won't get pudding, is definitely not what I'm an advocate of, because in the long term it just builds up resentment and bad eating habits.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, like you say, it's not about pushing it all on them, making a drastic change, let's go cold turkey, we're never eating any of that food again. That it's much easier to slowly integrate the new foods in and little changes. But you do kind of need to commit yourself to it as well, because it is difficult to make the change sometimes. I always say to people, it's not hard, it's just different. And, you know, you can walk through the grocery store knowing that you're going to eat, you know, spaghetti bolognese one night and a cottage pie Tuesday night, and walk through, grab your groceries to make all of those things. And I can pretty much make the same meals for my family now, make them fully paleo. Doesn't take me any longer, but the grocery store aisles that I visit are just different. So it's not harder, it's different. And it's that initial stage of learning those differences that's often the hard part. And you just need to get over that step, because once you do, it goes back to being easy again, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's shopping very differently. And I would say, I mean, I get an organic vegetable box delivered, because that makes me eat so differently. It's very tempting to go into a supermarket and buy broccoli and carrots, onions, every single week and you get stuck in a rut. Mm-hmm. And then you're just not inspired to cook different things. But if you get food that's delivered to you seasonally, it'll make you try different things. You then have to come up with new recipes so you can start. And that's the great thing, is there are so many recipes online and apps and things that can help people. We need to use modern technology to support the way that we eat so that we can change it.
You know, another interesting thing, though, that people often, that I hear people saying, and I just think of conversations that I've had with mainly with mums, who will say things like, oh, but once I cut that out, then you almost become, then you can't ever have it, because then it makes you ill when you do have it. So you're better to have it in little quantities all the time than, you know, because you cut it out. And I was trying to explain to them, yes, but it's probably your body trying to tell you that you shouldn't be eating it. If you're having that adverse of a response to eating it, you never recognized it before because you just kept feeding it that poison on a small, low-level basis that you didn't see the damage. You withdraw it, you reintroduce it, and you can see it in one big hit. Surely that has to be telling you something.
Absolutely. It's something I'm very passionate about. I mean, I like to think that most of us can live by the 80-20 rule. But there are certain foods that some people just cannot eat. I cannot eat gluten. I cannot eat dairy. My daughter can't eat eggs. It does make it difficult, but the payoffs are worth it. I can now live in a completely clear-headed state. I sleep well. My skin's better. I have more energy. And to me, that's worth any piece of toast. But sometimes you just have to get there with people. They have to experience how differently they will feel by taking those foods out. And then when they reintroduce them, they realize how they used to feel. So it's creating that little window. So yeah, for a lot of people, there are a lot of foods that unfortunately they're just not able to tolerate.
No, and I think it's a good point what you say, you know, that haze, because I always remember being in that haze. And for myself, I always seem to associate it from when I had children, that seemed to be when it started, when I know full well it didn't. But you kind of think, if you're feeling that way, eating those foods, surely your children must be feeling that same haze as well. But the difference between them and us is they don't know any different. No. They don't know better. They can't make their own meals. It's up to us to provide that for them. And, you know, I don't want to preach, and I don't want to, you know, say this diet is right for everybody or that diet is right for everybody. Because there is no one answer that's right for everybody, you kind of need to determine what foods your body tolerates, what foods your body doesn't tolerate, and adjust your diet to suit that. And I think it's easy to do for yourself because you can feel the response. And sometimes with children, it's a bit more difficult because it's like when they're telling you they're ill. You can't necessarily see what's wrong. You're trying to go on the symptoms that they're kind of half-heartedly describing to you and making it better. But I remember with my own children, when I did transition them, and, you know, I would say they're, you know, we're aiming for 80-20, we're getting there. It's a bit of a slow process some days, but the difference in their behavior when we're on a good week, when we're hitting that 80, their behavior, their focus, it's unbelievable, the difference. It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in schools, they're probably noticing it even more now. Lots of kids are really struggling with attention and concentration. And I really feel for the teachers now. But we have to do something. We have to change the way we look at it now. It's estimated by the year 2025 that 50% of children will be born autistic, which is absolutely frightening. And when it's a higher proportion of boys than it is girls, we're in a scary place. And that's a whole catalogue of different things, from toxins to food sensitivities to the gut microbiome. So we really have to instigate a change in health now for our kids.
Yeah, no, it is really difficult. But, you know, it's really funny. I went to... I was in the hospital the other day having some blood tests done, and I sat there, and not intending to be judgmental in any way, but I sat around and couldn't help but notice how so much of the healthcare staff, healthcare as in these people are supposed to be there looking after our health and well-being, how many of them were overweight. Mm-hmm. And I think as individuals, we look to the healthcare profession for advice, whether it be dietitians, whether it be doctors and nurses, and they don't necessarily have the answer. And, you know, I think our generation and yet generations below us are starting to be a bit more savvy, and we have that access to the internet. But there's still a lot of people who, you know, and my parents are one of them, that feel like if the doctor doesn't know it, nobody knows it, or they have the best answer. But that's probably not the way forward for the future.
No, I think most functional medical practitioners, I think, will have to do healthcare from scratch, unfortunately. We're stuck in a situation where doctors have a very short time frame in which to diagnose people, and they're very pharmaceutically driven. And the factor is we can't, when it's these kind of long-term chronic diseases, we can't just look at symptoms and offer drugs because they don't offer a long-term solution for people. And there's a whole host of things that mitigate how people got to this place, whether it be stress, toxins, the gut, sleep, food intolerances. There's a whole host of different things that kind of got them to that place. And it didn't just start from yesterday. It'll probably have been building up for years. And unless you take that time to sit down with that patient for probably a couple of hours discussing, you know, what their background is, it's very hard for doctors now to diagnose people. So we are in a catch-22. I think it's very difficult for doctors. They are literally doing as much as they can in the time frame that they can.
But with all the cuts on the NHS, it's another one of those things that we're not going to see improvement. It's just going to carry on.
No, and I think you're right. I think what people have got to do is take charge of their own health, educate themselves, educate their children. Particularly as mums, they're the most powerful people at the moment. If they can try and help their children be healthier and then bring up the next generation very, very differently, then we'll look at health in a very, very different way.
Yeah, no, it will be interesting, and hopefully we'll be able to, you know, train the younger generations to make decent choices and to be open-minded to, you know, researching themselves, finding the best answers and making their own decisions about these things. Well, thank you very much for joining me, Vanessa. Just before we finish, I'd like to say that you're joining us this evening at Roost for our very first seminar, which is called Nurturing Your Health Through the Holidays. And we will be doing all sorts of other seminars with you at Roost. I'll let you tell us a little bit about other things that you do yourself and some other things that we've talked about that we'll be doing.
One of my biggest passions is fermentation. I love anything gut health and gut microbiome, so I will be teaching some fermentation workshops, probably some masterclasses as well. I also do essential oil classes because I believe in plant-based medicine. They are some of the most powerful forms of medicine that have just been forgotten for the last 5,000 years, and we can bring them back. I also do health and wellness workshops. So I do a course called Eating for Health and Happiness, which really breaks things down, taking people step by step through all the things that they can do to change their health. So it doesn't feel like it's a massive deal and they have to do everything at once. They can do it in stages and they can do it in a group, because doing it in a supportive environment is really helpful for mums. They can understand the other challenges that people face and they can share the knowledge and share the experiences, and that's really important.
Oh, excellent. No, we're quite looking forward to those. The doTERRA classes are brilliant. I'm really looking forward to us having those ones. And people can find you at thelifesutra.com, which is literally thelifesutra.com, all one word, all lowercase. And you'll be able to find more about our classes here on our Primal Roost website. And we look forward to seeing you. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks, Jenny.